Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and HD1, KGMC San Francisco, the radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome. It is really good to have you here. Ray, you can take your mid-range one and put it up your
butt front.
Because we got
that was genuinely creepy.
Thank you.
Butt front. The concept of a butt front
will be in play at Staples Center tonight, and hopefully the Warriors got to do what it takes to overcome the butt front, the top locking that we read about today. Tim Kawakami, a very interesting piece of basketball strategy in The Athletic, and the deal is this: the Warriors are the better team. You go out and you play 48 minutes of basketball, get back to normal, and boom. That's it. Done. And that's what we hopefully see tonight from the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr, is there anything you and your staff can do to inject moments of urgency? Like, just have a whistle, and if you sense them losing focus, you start blowing the whistle like it's a shark warning at a beach or something?
Well, that's what timeouts are for.
The timeouts didn't work last time around. I suggested, like, focus kazoos. We'll get everyone blowing them back into Oracle Arena, but we'll worry about that when the series shifts back to Oracle. But we're ready. We're going to do whatever it takes to keep the Warriors in the game that they're playing. And it's sad that they might need a little encouragement. You figure the word postseason would be enough to do that. But here we are. Warriors are at the fork in the road of their credibility, at least in game three here tonight. It looks like, you know, they get back to normal, or things are so far away from normal that we're not going to really recognize what anybody looks like tomorrow when we get on the air. I do think the Warriors get back to normal tonight. I do think the Warriors get a very aggressive, good game out of Kevin Durant tonight. And I think they get a Steph Curry who looks a lot more like the Steph Curry in game one than the Steph Curry in the second half of game two. I'm predicting good things for the Warriors tonight. My predictions aren't really worth that much, but I see a better brand of Warrior basketball hopefully coming up tonight here on 95.7 The Game.
They should cover.
I would think so. What's it, eight?
It's 8.5. The total is down to 233.5, so if that extra half point matters to you, there it is.
The extra half point always matters. When you can take the hook, kids, get the hook. But Warriors tonight, they've got look, it's just real simple. Just stay engaged. 48 solid minutes of basketball. Slap the floor. Pull a Wojo if you want to. Go ahead. Not Adrian Wojnarowski.
No.
Somebody slap a floor. Somebody do something. Slap a floor in front of Lou Williams, for goodness sake. In front of Montrezl Harrell. Slow those guys down. And it'll be interesting to see what it will be like for guys to be met at the rim tonight by Andrew Bogut. You know, Andrew Bogut is a good old-fashioned red-ass kind of a player. Maybe he sets a tone that you don't come to the rim, you know, while I'm on the court. And it's just an oh my God, they're here tonight moment. You got to respect what the Clippers did. They officially have the best sports t-shirt of the year, and it's got to be right up the alley of all of their fans. Their t-shirts is a direct jab at the Warriors. The t-shirts tonight fans are getting at Staples Center says, "We believe." And the I in E in believe have been flipped and replaced by the numerals 3 and 1 to represent the 31-point comeback. It is a memorable postseason moment. It's the only memorable postseason moment for Clippers fans that's a positive one so far. I think it's great. I mean, how can you hold it against them? It's a genius marketing. It really is.
No, it's absolutely, and it's for the moment. I mean, nobody is going to frame theirs, I mean, unless you're an idiot. So why not?
Sharks tonight skate for their playoff lives in San Jose. Would they rather see a Game 6 back in Las Vegas, or would they rather get to the beach, find a tee time, or a picnic? Like, what do you want, San Jose? How are you going to play this tonight? And if they lose, Ray, if it's over, if it's done tonight, what's the butterfly effect?
I don't know.
Like, because Pavelski, Thornton, Burns, Vlasic, Couture, anybody the odd man out?
Well, I think there's a chance that they don't re-sign Carlson. I mean, he's an expensive number, and he's had injuries the last couple of years now, and you have to worry about durability, especially at the length that contract would probably come in at, which would be 9 or 10 years. I think they've got to figure out how to replace Martin Jones while getting somebody to take his salary, because he's got another 5 years on his deal. And then the other hard questions that they have to answer is, what do they do about the veteran core? And you mentioned them, Pavelski, Couture, Burns, Vlasic, Thornton. Does Thornton pack it in and just decide, I'm never getting a Stanley Cup? Do any of them want to try to figure out how to get a Patrick Marleau deal, you know, get 3 years out of the Toronto Maple Leafs? You know, I think everything's on the table at this point, but ultimately you find out that your options are restricted. And in the Sharks' case, a lot of those guys that we mentioned also have no-move deals. So they might be married to them for a while, or have to get them to waive those new no-move clauses.
Well, there's only one Shark that I'm personally married to.
That's fine.
And we'll see if he can make a difference. He dressed for the last game, didn't make a difference. They lose 5-0. We'll see if they've got one more punch, at least, to stay in this series tonight. Chris Davis, the punching power of the Oakland A's, gets one of the most team-friendly deals you're going to see a power hitter get in 2019. He is staying with the A's through 2021, $16.75 million this season, and next season, you add it all together, it's $33 million and change, and we have one KD at least staying in the Bay. It's a surprising move, if nothing else, that the A's don't give anybody a penny before they have to. And they did in this case. I wonder if it'll be a harbinger of things to come. I will be surprised if it is. I'd be stunned if it is. But I'm glad Chris Davis is officially now making more money than he ever has in his life, even though he might not be making as much money as he could in his life. We had the top influential list of people in Time Magazine, Ray. Top three influential people in the sports world. And I included my list. You included your list yesterday. I think if we did a Bay Area list right now, the three most influential sports people in the Bay Area, I think it'd be easy to say all three are Golden State Warriors. I got on my list in terms of just influential, Steph Curry, Joe Lacob, and Rick Welts. And I'm only putting Rick Welts on there because the stadium that they're opening, that he's running, is going to be a real big deal here in the Bay Area. It's not who's necessarily on the list, it's who's off the list. If we ever, in any other year, put together a list of influential people, Larry Bear would find himself on it. Will Larry Bear ever find himself on an influential list again when it comes to sports in the Bay Area?
No, I think that time's passed. I think the Giants have already made it clear that Rob Dean is going to be the focus of, you know, of ownership. That he's going to be the face now. I think it was sort of made clear in a bunch of different ways in the Dan Brown piece in The Athletic, where Dean all but said that some of the stockholders wearied a bit of Larry being the face all the time, as though he were the owner. And weirdly enough, it's the same thing that helped bring down Peter McGowan back in 2008. You know, it's just you start believing that you're the most powerful, and the only way you are truly the most powerful is if you have the biggest wallet. And the biggest wallet belongs to Charlie Johnson. He's in his mid-80s, and he lives in Florida. So he's sort of abrogated that. And the fact that that Bear's been suspended and that they moved as quickly as they did to install Dean in that place, and that they've made it no secret that you know, Larry was the out front guy more than they liked. This was their opportunity to make a change there, and they did.
Man.
So, no, he won't be on that list. And I would quibble with Joe Lacob, too. I think I might put Draymond Green there just because he's in the neighborhoods in Oakland a lot more than anybody other than maybe Curry. I mean, he's wedded himself to this area and influenced a lot of people who you might not necessarily see, but he's done it because he's been boots on the ground in a lot of community centers, a lot of gymnasiums, just a lot of places around the East Bay. And I think that counts for more than building a fabulous building. That will generate a lot of money, and yeah, you'll have influence with the high rollers, but at some point some credit has to be given to the people who've decided to be influential with the powerless.
You know, I got a guy who said beast mode here on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Look, Marshawn Lynch has given back and has cared more about the city of Oakland than most people will over several lifetimes.
It's an excellent point.
That guy has done an unbelievable job over there. He's the only one I've ever seen like show up with a backpack at a city council meeting to lobby to make sure other teams are kept in his hometown. I mean, I saw him go and speak in support of keeping the Oakland A's. Like, Marshawn Lynch is as real a representative and son of Oakland as you're ever going to find. There is no doubt about that.
No, I mean, he's absolutely. If the list were more than three, yeah, he'd be on it. In fact, he might be on it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I gave three names on there that I just thought would be easy to agree with to illustrate how nuts it is that Larry Bear is probably off this list going forward over a disagreement over a cell phone, which spilled out of.
It was more than that. That was the scab that showed a wound underneath. Because if all it was that, and now it's still significant, I'm not trying to minimize that, he would still be the guy who moves the needle at Third and King. He's not, because they moved to basically neutralize him, and not just because of that. And, I mean, they've said it themselves, like I said. They made it clear that it was somebody else's turn to be in the spotlight, and it will be interesting to see how well Rob Dean makes sure that he doesn't hog the spotlight. Maybe they want Farhan Zaidi to be the new face of the organization. Maybe they want other shareholders to be that. You know, maybe they distribute it, you know, more equitably around that group. But, you know, they clearly voted for change and dramatic change, and that was it.
888-957-9570. Want to bring it back to the Golden State Warriors. Huge game coming up tonight. Andrew Bogut, is he a difference-making presence in this game tonight? Is Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell about to go off once again on this team, or will they have figured out a way to slow down either of these guys? You don't need to slow them, both of them down. How about just one of them? Lou Williams, 61 points, 24 of 43 from the floor. Montrezl Harrell, 51 points on 20 of 24 field goals. Williams has 15 fourth quarter points. Harrell had 22. That's 27 combined fourth quarter points. That was four more than the entire Warriors team in the last game, for goodness sake. So slow one of those guys down. And if you got a top lock, the Los Angeles Clippers, or
butt front,
or just the
concept of a butt front,
the Los Angeles Clippers, do that to them. Put their medicine back in their face. And I think that they might have a crew that will let them do that tonight. Scott Foster is normally a name that doesn't sit well with NBA fans. Scott Foster is a rare NBA official name that trends on Twitter sometimes, but Scott Foster blows the whistle, and that might be the best shot the Warriors got to stay in this game with an overly defensively aggressive Clipper philosophy. I hope you're right, Ray. I hope that does happen. And I mean, we just saw Golden State shoot 45 free throws. I don't like choppy basketball games like that. I like a little more ebb and flow up
but
and
you're
down
not going to get ebb and flow when you have contrasting styles. That is one of the central points of this series, is that the Clippers don't want ebb and flow. The Clippers want jagged, sort of difficult to watch basketball because that's their best way of beating Golden State. Now, if the Clippers were playing somebody else in the first, if they were playing Denver, they might be fine with ebb and flow. But they looked at this team and said, we can't run with them. We can't score with them. Let's get in their way. And basically, like I said, for the last 19 minutes of game two, they succeeded with copious help from the team that they were succeeding against.
Draymond Green was asked today, what would you like to see from Kevin Durant tonight? How do you want him to play tonight?
Just encourage him to play basketball. Every Philly should play. It's not really my job to decide what somebody else should do, how they feel they should play the game of basketball. That's on them.
Now, I've seen a lot of people react to that and say, read in between the lines. I'm not reading in between the lines. I'm going to take that at face value for two reasons. Number one, why would Draymond Green be laying uncomfortable moments in front of his own teammates in the playoffs? He's too smart for that. And number two, if he wanted to call somebody out, he would have done just that. Like, Draymond Green doesn't mince words or use a lot of coded language. Yeah. He is very matter of fact.
It's one of the reasons why I hate sound bites, because very often they're inspired by sort of a goofy question that probably doesn't have a basis in the reality that the players live in. And I think that's sometimes why players get irritated. You know, the idea that Draymond Green is the keeper of Kevin Durant's shots is a concept that I would not have thought of. Unless you're trying to bait Draymond Green into saying something about Kevin Durant that could turn into a story that generates. And if you're doing that, then you're just being dishonest. So that's why, you know, when Draymond Green gets asked the question, he really answers it in a very smart and clever way, which is, A, it's not my job. B, that's my teammate. C, I've been down that road, and it didn't work well for either of us. And D, what other player would you ask that of? I mean, I don't remember that anybody else has been asked that about Kevin Durant at any point.
Well, I don't think there was a game that represented such a glitch in the matrix for Kevin Durant at any point in his Warrior career as odd as game two was. I mean, more turnovers than shots attempted for one of the five greatest scorers ever born on planet Earth. It just, the whole thing seemed so odd.
But I think because it's such an outlier and because the game is such an outlier, we have made this into a sign that, oh my God, he's suddenly become weak-minded about shooting the basketball.
Well, it's not just the one game, though, Ray. I think it's the fact that he went into this pursuit of efficiency late in the year, and at times it was glorious as he did it. It was beautiful, and the Warriors were having success with Kevin applying the less is more theory. I don't think the less is more theory works in the playoffs, and I really don't want to see the Warriors add this element of their own degree of difficulty by trying to do as little as possible to win a playoff game. Well, like, I want an overwhelming amount of Durant.
That's what happened in game two. But game one, it worked fine. And down the stretch, it worked fine.
Because Curry went bonkers in game one.
Okay, but...
So if Curry's going bonkers, Kevin doesn't have to.
But that's the whole idea of having four guys who can do what they do, is that you don't need a guy to have a minimum number of shots. You need the offense to run. And if it means that Kevin Durant doesn't get a lot of shots in one game, then so be it. You know, it's the idea that you put one player in the center of this that makes it all not work. What happened the other night was not Kevin Durant failing to shoot the basketball. It was the team failing to finish their job. They put their tools down with the house half built and the roof still not nailed down and walking off. That's all. That's what happened. It's no more complicated than that. And if Kevin Durant comes out tonight and shoots 25 times and they lose by three, what's been gained? Nothing. It's the idea that, you know, the Warriors were built to be bigger than the sum of its of their parts.
True, but Kevin Durant is here to, like, okay, so I agree with you. It's a share and share alike basketball team, if there ever was one, and they've got the talent to be wired like that at all times. But there are nights when it ain't working. And Kevin Durant, guess what the plan is when things ain't working? It's you. And things were not working in that fourth quarter, and it took a long time before he reasserted himself into the concept of halting a 31-point hole evaporating in front of them. And I just, look, Kevin Durant has said, I mean, he just said it himself, for goodness sakes. Like, you know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant. Well, is he trying to remind us, or is he trying to remind himself? And if he's trying to remind himself of who Kevin Durant is, Kevin Durant ain't the guy who was here to shoot only 8 times in a playoff game, regardless of team flow, team concept, share the ball, pass 4 times, just like in the movie Hoosiers. You're Kevin Durant. Go get yours.
He shot 7 times in game 80. They won by 27 over the same Clipper team. He shot 7 times in game 78. At the Lakers when they won by 18.
Right, but the Lakers sucked. That wasn't the playoffs.
Okay.
The Clippers weren't showing you what they had, and they didn't have Beverly or who wasn't also playing that night. Patrick Beverly nor Montrezl Harrell played in that game.
In game 76, he shot 5 times in 27 minutes. They won by 47.
Who'd they play?
Charlotte.
They suck.
Okay, but what is there that's so special about this 8 seed?
So you can lay back in the cut against a team that sucks. 8 seed doesn't matter. That's the team that you got to beat to get to the next round. So you should treat them as the only team in the world that matters.
Okay, Detroit was a playoff team. They beat them. He took 6 shots. Indiana's a playoff team. He took 9 shots. They won by 23. It's not the number of shots he gets. That's irrelevant. It has no bearing as long as they play defense throughout the game, as long as they stay focused as a unit, as a team. What they did the other night was not Kevin Durant. It was entirely about them putting their tools down. And it's no more complicated than that. Kevin Durant is a red herring in this.
I just hope that there isn't some sort of I'm going to restrict myself because, you know what, you say it's Steph's team, then let it be Steph's team. And I'm sort of putting my tools away. I really hope that that's not in any weird way happening in Durant's own mind. Like, Durant gets in his own head a lot. And I hope he's not in his own head telling himself that, yeah, it's time for me to just hand the reins back to everyone else other than Kevin Durant and try to win playoff games with me doing as little as possible.
He took 16 shots in game 1.
Right.
There's no pattern to his last 15 games. I mean, he took 18, 13, 9, 25, 6, 13, 22, 5, 13, 7, 14, 7, 10, 16, and 8. There's no pattern here that says he's withdrawing. There's a pattern here that he's trying to be part of the greater whole, which is what you do when you're getting ready for a playoff run. He's doing what he should be doing.
888-957-9570. I told you we'd go back to the phones. Indeed we do. This is Reno giving us a buzz. What's up, Reno?
Hey, how's it going?
Excellent.
How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Hey, my take on this whole Kevin Durant thing is that we scored 131 points. We scored 131 points. He only had 8 shot attempts, but to me, that's okay because we scored 131 points. It's our defense that we got to focus on and shutting down Williams and their center. I'm out.
Thank you. Look, there is no doubt that the point total that the Warriors had in that game wasn't why. They lost. I mean, they had the offense needed to win. It was the defense that let them down. I think Durant's the kind of guy who's more engaged defensively when he's clicking offensively. I mean, one of the greatest attributes of Klay Thompson is he can have an off shooting night and he stays in front of his guy. I think when it's not going well on one end for Kevin, it doesn't go well on the other end and a little pouting happens. And the best way to get Kevin out of pouting is to get Kevin involved. And I want him to be as aggressive as I've ever seen him tonight. I want him to look like the best player on the planet tonight.
I don't care what he looks like, because it's not about him. It's about them. I mean, they are the collective, right? They're the Borg. That's how they function best. If you make this about Kevin Durant, you're missing the point of what made them great. You get distracted by the notion that basketball is about individuals. This team was designed to defeat that notion. That's what they've done for 5 years. That's why they are who they are. It's not about one guy.
Brad Richmond. What's up, Brad?
Yeah, here's the situation. You guys are overanalyzing this whole thing to me. Kevin Durant is a 30-year-old millionaire. He's a basketball player. He's the best at what he does. He had a, you know, you guys are always, you're kind of psychoanalyzing him. He's a team player. He's just trying to play the game. And, you know, all this buzz in the press, I think, is just, it does play in his head. I mean, you would have that situation, too, if people talk about you at work constantly.
People talk about me constantly. People tweet horrific things at me constantly. I don't let people get to me the way that he does. Now, I also don't have millions of people coming at me the way he does. But he chose this life. And look, I chose mine, too. I knew when I set out to be a sports talk radio host, it wasn't going to be the easiest to get everybody's friendliest, happiest personality traits thrown at me all the time. It's a job where you're inviting controversy. It's part of the deal. It's this is the life we've chosen, if I can borrow a phrase. Kevin Durant seems to reject the life he's chosen, the choices that he's made, and he loves to play victim at all times. It's always unfair. Look, I don't want to get on it because I need him to drop 60 on the Clippers tonight to feel good. I would love to see that. Or just beat the damn team, and I don't care.
If he takes no shots and they win by 20, will you be happy?
He's going to the Knicks if he takes no shots and they wins by 20.
Okay. He's going. What if? Never mind that. Okay. Consider him lost for the next year. The playoffs are about the right now. If he takes no shots tonight and they win by 20, are you satisfied?
On one level, yes. But I'm satisfied on the level of they won the game. I'm incredibly concerned about their playoff chances, because if you think Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors, with all of their collective everything, are going to go and beat the Houston Rockets with Durant shooting eight times, you're nuts.
Oh, no, they can do that.
I don't know about that.
Because they can defend the Rockets.
888.
And if they defend, they beat anybody.
888-957-9570.
Butt front.
I thought we were playing repeater.
No, I don't repeat him. I only repeat you.
The concept of a butt front.
When we come on back, much more is coming up. Your phone calls are coming up. And if we were making a station hype video and we left the morning show off it, you might think we might be in the market for a new morning show, right? That applies to the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about that. But right now, Elena Matzorkis will be left out of no hype videos. Not ever.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Less than a half an hour away from Warriors Live, 7:30 tip time tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Warrior playoff coverage presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Ray Ratto here this afternoon. You have shown up in force this afternoon on the phone lines. We're about to get out to you before we turn our attention to the value of who is in or who might not be in your hype video. But right now, we got Ken in Fremont. Hello, Ken.
Hey, hi. So, you guys both made great comments. I'm just listening to you on the radio here. And first off, I just want to say KD is by far and always will be my favorite player. You have to pick one. He's always been my guy. Obviously, in my heart, I feel something's definitely wrong with him this year. Two technicals in the first game thrown out, and this is a playoff game where you don't take anything for granted. So I don't know. I feel like something's off on him. When the team goes 4 minutes without a point and he's a pure shooter, I think, you know, he's co-captain. He's got to take it upon himself to get a bucket for the team, you know. And you're going to have to run. This guy is on you like glue, right? You're going to have to run. You can't sit still and get open. So, I don't know. That's what I got to say to you guys. So,
Ken, thank you. Again, I think we're all looking at a player, and we all agree. He's one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen. And his body type has always suggested, and most of his play has suggested, that he can get his whenever he wants it. As a matter of fact, he suggests it himself.
I'm not going to go out there and just go shoot 20, 30 shots. You know, I don't play like that. So, I mean, we were up 30 points, so I had 5 shots. Everybody's shots were kind of evenly distributed around that time. We were up 30. So me taking 2 more shots after that wasn't the reason why we lost.
Yeah, it wasn't, but it also didn't help the win. And you said it yourself.
I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am.
Again, you can't say
I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am.
And be an 8-shot a game guy in the postseason. You want to cruise the end of the regular season with a less is more approach, a get everybody involved approach. Everybody's got to get locked in before the postseason starts approach. It's a good idea. The playoffs are when the stars shine the brightest. And he's one of the brightest stars in the world. Go shine, Kevin.
Screw who shines. The job is to win the game. They were doing fine until they stopped defending and stopped working hard. I mean, we're on the hamster wheel now. But that's it. This has nothing to do with Kevin Durant's willingness or unwillingness to shoot. Because when he was not willing to shoot earlier in the game, they built a 31-point lead. We have been overthinking this from day one. Just because there are 2 days between games. This is not about Kevin Durant. I don't care about his reputation. I don't care about his legacy. Their job is to win the game.
But the easier it gets, the less Durant you need. The harder it's getting, the more Durant you need.
Well, but who says it's going to remain hard? It became hard last night, not because Kevin Durant, or the other night, not because Kevin Durant shrank from the moment. It became hard because they all decided the job was done. They just stopped. They gave up 85 points in the second half. That's an absurd number.
Yeah, it
and
is.
It's a revolting number for a team that defends as well as they typically do. That's on them as a 12-man operation. This is not about Kevin Durant's shot number. It's a ridiculous argument. I'm sorry, that sounds dismissive, but
no, you're getting a lot of amens and thank you rays on the text line.
Their loss was collective. Their successes are collective. If you could show me where Kevin Durant got a ball on the wing and just put it under his arm and stood there, I'd be willing to listen to this argument. But the fact is, the ball was moving with him as part of it. Nobody was taking a lot of shots because nobody had to take a lot of shots. They were getting their shots in rhythm because that's how the offense functions. It's not up to Kevin Durant to say, this is my moment to shine. What, any more than it is Curry's, any more than it's Thompson's. I mean, if you're just going to talk about volume shooters.
And look, I appreciate the whole you can't put it on Durant, look at the flow of the game. But, I mean, 9 turnovers as well. All right, so if no shots, him not turning the ball over, there's a lot of shots that aren't taken just by the turn. He was a walking, talking human turnover.
That's a different argument, and I'll listen to that.
I should have made that earlier in the show then. I would have done better with it.
I mean, 9 turnovers is not good.
No.
There's no way to gussy that up. But this is a team that has traditionally been careless with the basketball because they can afford to be careless with the basketball because they like style points. So they will do certain things that make you go, why did you need to do that?
Drew is in San Jose. Drew, you're on 95.7 The Game. We ain't waiting for anyone, Drew. We got a playoff game tonight. This is Sam in Oakland. Sam, what do you got?
Hey there, guys. I really like what you said about the collective 12-man win or loss. I'm wondering, do the bench players have to play their heart out this postseason to make a name, to make a spot for themselves next year? And real quick, you said Rick Wells is a top influencer in the Bay, but booking the Who in 2019 seems like he needs some influence on him. Just saying.
You know how much a ticket goes for? You know how many people in their 50s and 60s got $700 to throw at that? I know it sounds like a roll your eyes at it booking. Lots of money. Rick knows what he's doing. Trust me on that one. Thank you very much for the call, Sam. Appreciate it. I forgot what else you were saying. I'm sure it was basketball related.
Yeah, no, he agreed with something I said, which is not a good sign for him.
By the way, don't sleep on The Who. The Who are great. I saw The Who live once. It was years ago. But, dude, Pete Townsend windmilling that bad boy?
Oh, no. 35, 40 years ago, they were extraordinary. But they're now in their 70s.
Yeah. It's like watching your grandfather up there.
Yeah, I never do those. I'm not interested in seeing the Rolling Stones prance around at age 70. I don't think that's a triumph. Everything that they've done that has mattered is now 25 years old, if not older. I mean, probably closer to 35. That's their time. It's time for others now. So I'm all in favor. Just get out of the way. Let the young have their music.
It'd be a lot harder to convince me to get out of the way if every single time I unsnapped my guitar case, I made $4 million.
Well, no. I'm not talking about whether they should be allowed to play. I'm talking about whether I should have to care. I'm fine with anybody doing pretty much anything that doesn't require the cops. But in terms of my interest level, I don't want to see 75-year-old rock and rollers.
The amount of people trying to get the who are you talking about? Joke going on the text line is a sad indication.
It's a disgrace.
An Abbott and Costello bit still works almost 100 years later. This is Evan in San Mateo. Evan, what do you got?
Hi, guys. I can't believe this, but I'm about to agree with Ray.
I see no reason why you should do that.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it, but I got to say, you are absolutely right. I mean, all this talk about, you know, Kevin Durant this, Kevin Durant that. Last time I saw a game of basketball, it's a team sport. You win together, you lose together. And, you know, the game that happened a couple nights ago, you saw a dominant team crushing the Clippers. And they fell asleep in the fourth quarter. Now, it doesn't matter if, you know, Kevin Durant only took X amount of shots. Doesn't matter. What is the team doing collectively to win or lose? That's what should be discussed. Not Kevin Durant this, Kevin Durant that. That's all I got to say.
Evan, thank you very much. Frank in San Francisco, before we change the subject entirely. Frank, what do you got?
I just wanted to bring up something that Draymond Green always preaches when it comes to playing defense and winning games. He always talks about taking what the defense gives you, and I think that they should go right back to that. That's their foundation. It's what made them great the past 5 years, and I think we're going to get a throwback of that tonight. And I love that Kevin Durant's preaching that same thing. So that's my take on it. I'm on Ray Ratto's team today.
There you go. Hashtag Team Ratto.
Well, guess what? Everybody's getting cut.
Look, I think we got a double-digit victory coming our way tonight for the Golden State Warriors. Let's hope we have an everything is back to normal show to do tomorrow. If it isn't, though, tomorrow's show is wildly more interesting. But we're not rooting for that. I'd like to see a win. I really, really would. We got to talk about how social media really matters. Teams use it. Sometimes they use it recklessly. Sometimes they use it carefully. But when they really do something that is like a produced video, I would imagine several people have to look at it, approve it, edit it, sign off on it, say you must restrict this content, you must add this content, and so on and so forth. The hype video has to be one of the – if the NFL schedule release pisses you off, the hype video's got to piss you off more – in many, many ways.
Oh no, it's ghastly.
Okay.
It's why marketers get a bad name. It's why the promotions department and most companies literally should be run from the janitorial room.
there was one that was better than the rest, especially if you're a Game of Thrones fan. The Atlanta Falcons put out a hype video for their schedule that was phenomenal. It had the same sort of graphics that come in the opening credits of Game of Thrones. It had teams represented marching in. Like when the Saints come to town, they had like a second line walking into the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then all of a sudden, a ram comes through and knocks over a tuba player in the second line. And then a referee comes out and says, no contact. Like it was well done all the way around. Bravo, Atlanta Falcons. The rest of the hype videos were pretty much just like, hey, here's your favorite player making a play. Boom, we're going to be in this location on this week in the upcoming season. Bam, go buy your tickets. And here's a superstar, and here's a guy whose jersey you need. And that's pretty much how all the hype videos go, with the exception of one. The Arizona Cardinals just put out a hype video in which they did not include their quarterback. They know that this was a huge egregious error because they have since put out other hype videos that have included Josh Rosen. But for that first video to be sent out and someone either like would have said, hey, you need to edit Josh Rosen out of that video, or someone would have said, you need to edit Josh Rosen into that video. And I'm wondering if we didn't just see a team's social media marketing department just tip the pick. Would the social media marketing department know about the pick? How could you keep it secret if that happened?
The social media marketers do not know about the pick.
Do you think they know the pick, Ray?
No.
It's
Steve Keim did not call them into any football ops meetings. The only way that this works is if you believe that they really think that confuses other teams. The fact that they put one out with him in it and the fact they put one with him not in it only tells me that they're just trying to screw with people's heads for a while. It's an amusement.
But unless you call Josh Rosen and say, hey, buddy, man, we're leaving you out of this hype video because we want to screw with people. I mean, aren't they also screwing with him?
No, they're not going to tell him either, because one of the things that players don't get to be involved with is how their futures go. If he's irritated by this, they're fine with it.
Oh, he is irritated by this.
Okay, well then, good for him. I mean, just, you know, it seems to me that we are looking for answers to something that we don't need an answer for. It doesn't matter yet who they take. And the reason why it doesn't matter is because we don't know how many teams are all of a sudden going to start throwing trade offers at them. I think this was tactical to let teams know, hey, we're still interested in business if you want to overpay. But I don't think it's an indication that they've made up their mind. I think it was bait, pure and simple. And the fact that they put out two competing videos is an indication that they think this might work with other teams. I don't think it will, but I think it's just one of those things that you do when you're good at, you know, throwing paint against the wall to see if you get a painting out of it.
Rosen was quoted saying, it's annoying, but it is what it is. Oh, God. If there is a phrase that needs to be stamped out of society.
Well, okay, but, you know, if you want to end a conversation, that's as good a way to do it as any.
It is what it is.
Because, yeah, it is what it is. Fine, thanks. See you later.
It's annoying. It is what it is. But football is a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. We won 3 games in each one of those wins. To me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl. And that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be part of this team next year. Really, you beat the Niners twice, and it feels like you won a Super Bowl, Josh? Come on.
I think based on what we hear about the 49ers, that was an enormous achievement by any stretch. He's going to say this if he goes to another team. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if he's irked about it, his agent will have called somebody and says, what's the meaning of this? And they would have gotten the stock answer, nothing. Take nothing from this. Don't worry. You know, if you get traded, you'll get traded. If you don't, you don't. I mean, just this is a matter of can we get a maximum value for our draft pick if we want to move our draft pick. I mean, I think it's one of the great failings of the NFL draft is that it deliberately makes people crazy when it doesn't have to.
Let's say I wanted to torture you. What would be more torture? Forcing you Clockwork Orange style, like peeling your eyes open so you can't blink, Ray. You either get to watch one Robert Kraft video or all 32 NFL hype videos. What's your choice?
Oh, the choice. I mean, I don't want to see Robert Kraft.
But it's pixelated. What if I can promise you pixelation?
No.
Pixelation sensation?
No. The only real answer is that the only way you could truly torture me is to tell me you have to stay for another hour.
But don't.
No. Robert, whatever happens to Robert Kraft, I don't want to know any of the details. I wanted the video released so that rich people couldn't just buy justice in Florida. I apparently am wrong.
So when we do get the Robert Kraft video, would it be tacky to like edit some Tim Roy over that and just, oh, my.
I'll tell you what.
Pixelation sensation. Wow.
The day you do that, give me a couple of hours to call in sick. I don't want to be anywhere near any of the planning for that, or let alone any of the execution.
Butt front.
Just no.
The concept of a butt front.
You're not. This ends badly for you.
Someone needs to take that button away from me. I'll be totally honest with everyone here just up in front. Hey, we want you to stick around. We got Steiny and Guru coming back in studio, getting you ready for one more hour. Warriors Live is right around the corner. Thanks to everyone who called in today. A lot of good conversation right here in studio. Ray Ratto, thank you very, very much, kind sir.
Let's get out of here.
Thank you, Albie. Thank you, Elena. Merci beaucoup. C'est si bon. Really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the Warriors game tonight. Back in at 3 till 7 tomorrow for a full four-hour show. We'll be reacting, obviously, to everything that happened and setting you up for a big, busy weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Jim Barnett, to John Dickinson. Both checked in from Staples Center, and we enjoyed their visits very, very much. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the hockey game tonight. Go Sharks. We'll see if you can keep it alive.
That's fine.
And remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.